Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Clover Trade and Logistics, here represented by Mr. Vernon Tidings. He's the vice president based in Baltimore, and his colleague, Ms. Marisa Echevarri. She's the business development manager, also based in Baltimore. To both of you, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Very welcome. And we managed to find out the right timing with the time difference. You're on the East Coast and I'm in Sweden. So glad to have you here as well. What I always do in my interviews, I always let my accused, as I call them, or the interviewees, give a little bit of a background story, a brief story about how they ended up where they are. So starting with you, Vernon, how come you are not on Wall Street? How come you are in logistics?
Well, I studied international business in college and didn't quite know exactly what field or branch to get into, and just happened to see a job posting. Back then, it was in the newspaper. There weren't like LinkedIn or those types of platforms. So yeah, saw an ad in the newspaper. This was back in 2002. Applied for the job and got my start as in ocean export operations. I had been my first employer I was with for 19 years. So I got a good exposure at an early stage in my career to kind of more challenging shipments. Did it with project cargo, break bulk, a lot of licensable Department of State, ITAR type cargo, out of gauge, flat racks, reefer containers. So handled all types of different commodities, everything from back then personal effects to explosives, for example. We did a lot of firearms and ammunition, so a lot of class 1.4S explosives, humanitarian aid, a lot of door-to-door, you know, delivery duty paid type shipments. So yeah, I got exposed to that as an early age in my career. Moved on from there, was there 19 years, moved on to another company, was only there for about a year, and then was contacted by Clover, who happened to be, indirectly, I had worked with Clover as our UK agent, and they had approached me about expanding into the US and asked if I would be interested in that. So I knew it was a great opportunity. And that's where I am now. I've been with Clover Group just about a year and a half.
Cool. Sounds like you really have a very strong background there and know your stuff. Very interesting. Thank you for that, Vernon.
Thank you.
So, welcome. Marisa, how about you? How come you are not on Wall Street? Why are you in logistics?
Yeah, so I actually studied international development in college. So I was interested in the international field. But straight out of college, I found myself working at a car dealership as a salesman. Ooh. So very different. And, you know, when I kind of had enough of car sales, I decided I wanted to get back into international field. So I started applying for freight forwarding jobs down in DFW. And so then I moved to the Baltimore area around 2.5 years ago. And I actually met Vernon at a prior position. And so when I was looking to, you know, leave the position I was in before, I reached out to him. And that's how I ended up at Clover as the business development manager. So
it was perfect timing, too, because we were actually hiring and expanding. So it was just the perfect timing.
That's what I love about this business. It's not what you know, it's who you know to a great extent, isn't it? very good. I like this story. When you mentioned, just for our viewers' sake who are very international, DFW, Marisa, please explain to them what that means.
Oh, yeah. That's a Dallas-Fort Worth in Texas.
Okay. So you were based there for a while. Okay, that's clear. Right. Then, of course, Vernon, I'd like to ask a few questions to you. Clover. Does Clover mean anything? There's this particular logo. Who's behind Clover, and what is your specialty in Clover Group?
Well, Clover Group was formed in 1993, then known as the Clover Shipping Company. Since then, have expanded and branched out into a few other subsidiaries, such as Clover Global Logistics, which is the the freight forwarding branch of that. But we also have our own IT support, our own in-house software developers. So we use our own proprietary software where customers can book on the portal and manage their shipments, complete, you know, export documentation, et cetera. But as far as the history, we're a fully owned UK business in operation since 1993. And since its inception has always handled more complex regulated commodities, a lot of ITAR licensable shipments, project cargo, strong background in export compliance as well.
So let's say
aerospace and defense.
Let's say you are strong on certain niche products that not anyone can do, I would say, right?
Correct. Yeah. And that's probably, you know, about 75% of our business is, you know, aerospace and defense related.
And that's, of course, there are big demands and you have to do on time. There's no, they don't accept excuses. And I can imagine the demands you have on you for that.
Absolutely.
Very interesting, Vernon. And one more question regarding Clover Group. So where do you physically have offices at in the group right now?
Currently based in the main office headquarters is based in Shepperton, UK, outside of London. Yeah. Then we have the US based office outside of Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we most recently have a office in Belgium.
Oh yeah. That I've noticed. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Good. Very good. And for you, Marissa, business development manager, you are sitting in the US, which is for me, coming from Denmark, one of your states is bigger than my country. So you have a pretty big market to develop business in. What do you do? Of course, the title says it, but how do you find it developing business for the Clover Group? Do people accept visits nowadays, or how do you go about selling the services?
Yeah, so the majority of visits are still online, especially since the whole United States is my territory. I can't necessarily hop on a plane to California or Texas. Yeah, so we're still doing a lot of business virtually. And you know, my main job, so obviously Clover UK is already established with their established customers overseas. My job is to make sure that I can bring on some customers here, get them established within our company, and make sure that we execute to our fullest potential to make sure that we are able to retain them as customers. So that's really my focus right now is bringing on new customers, especially in the aerospace and defense sector, since we are so competent and specialized in that market.
Understand fully. And of course, would you say, do you do a lot of air freight, sea freight, or is it a mixed bag?
It's a mixed bag.
Vernon,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
So a mixed bag of all of course, what the customer want, you can handle. Do you find, maybe a directest question to you, Vernon, do you find, Vernon, that, you know, some of the ship owners, not only have they been arrogant from the corona times because they earn too much, I think you felt that too.
Absolutely.
arrogance is perhaps not even a nice enough word, but anyway. And how do you feel that some of the ship owners now want to go ashore and tell the customers, oh, book with us door to door, you don't need the forwarder? Do you see that in the States as well?
I do. And I've always strayed away from that door aspect with the carriers. Mm-hmm. They may offer an attractive rate for the door pickup or on forwarding delivery. But from my experience, I've always told, my staff that just kind of steer away from that because essentially you lose all control.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All control. So if there's an issue, I want to be able to pick up the phone or email the carrier directly and say, hey, you know, what's the status? Where's our freight? If you have to call a steamship line and speak with their intermodal department, you're just going to get bounced around, and unfortunately
if the intermodal department is in the States, it might be somewhere in India in a call center.
Very, very well possible.
So, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. It's why I'm saying this is because I've had several interviews this week, and they all have the same song, that that the forwarder does play a vital role in customer service, pure and simple. No, it's not rocket science. It's just customer service.
Yeah. Right. And there's, I mean, since I started in the industry back in 2002, there's been a lot of changes. I'd say mostly for the better, increased efficiency with, you know, technology. Back when I started, we still had to type the, right now it's, you know, the export declaration is filed, AES filed electronically. When I first started, it had to be typed on a typewriter on a yellow piece of paper, along with, like insurance certificates and, you know, certificates of origin, you know, had to be manually typed at a typewriter. Yeah. But one of the things I've experienced is with technology, mainly with the steamship lines, for example, having to book everything online, submit documentation online. Everything's done online, which has its advantages, but there's also less of a human element to that as well. There used to be, with particularly with the steamship lines, more of a personal, you know, relationship, whereas now it's just more automated.
Yeah. So some guy told me last week that you can see the shipping lines are hungry when they start to invite you for lunch. So do the shipping lines in the States entertain forwarders? I mean, do they do something to promote themselves, or do they just sit and wait?
I haven't seen that in the recent years with steamship lines. You know, they used to, you know, physically knock on doors and, you know, take us out to lunch and meet with them. A couple weeks ago, it was last Thursday, Marissa and I attended the Baltimore Propeller Club Crab Feast.
In
Baltimore, which is a good event, because it's usually the one time of year I do get to actually physically speak with contacts from the steamship lines and the trucking companies. So it's a good event to kind of, you know,
put a face to a name and
build and establish relationships with carriers.
Okay. And Marissa, for you in the sales function, you say you do it online, but can you manage to, my question is, I'm a little bit old school here, and I used to do a lot of sales in my past, and try to visit customers. Nowadays, they hardly have time, but how do you manage to do sales online? Is that what they want? Or even if you said to most of them, can I come and visit you? They won't have time. Or how do you, I don't know the market in the States, so can you explain to me?
Yeah, so mostly for introductory meetings, they definitely want to keep all online.
Okay.
Further throughout the sales process, or just in general, once a customer is brought on board, I am more than willing to hop on a plane and fly or drive, because I have local clients that I'm bringing on to go and see them in person. Just generally in this, you know, first discovery exploratory phase, you know, where you're learning about their needs, they want to mostly keep that over Zoom. And especially because, again, my entire territory is the US, that's generally just the most efficient way for everyone involved. After that, though, I am definitely going out to go do client meetings, present solution designs in person for any accounts that are brought on, to make sure that they have that personal touch, make sure I go see them, hopefully once a quarter, if not, not then at least twice a year. So that's my plan.
I think that sounds very good. I mean, introduction first online, and then hopefully to meet them and shake hands and look them in the eyes, I suppose. It always still can never be replaced, we hope, until AI is coming on. Let's hope it cannot be replaced. Otherwise, I think we're all out of a job. So, what's your headcount in Vernon? What's your headcount in Baltimore?
In the U.S., we have, right at the moment, 4 employees.
Okay, 4 staffs. Okay, cool. Okay, very good. And
but we are expanding.
Okay, yeah. No, but it's as some wise man said, as long as you have the right people on the right shelf, you don't necessarily need a lot of them. So if you choose right, which it seems to me that you have done, I think you can manage 4 people can move as much as 20.
Yeah. And, you know, our operations team are fantastic. So really, you know, we have the reach. We're getting the reach of a larger forwarder, but we really have that small forwarder mindset with customer service where you can really reach out to one person or two people, myself included, for all your needs, for all your customer service and updates.
Yeah.
And there will always be that personal touch.
And if there's a headache or something's really gone wrong, you can be reached also after 5 p.m., right? I mean, somebody, yep. You can be reached by mobile and you'll pick it up.
Yep, always. Yeah. Phone, you got to pick it up past hours. So.
Fully agree. No, that's my wife here in Sweden. She used to work for Panalpina. So that's, you know how it is. Either you are in forwarding or you're not. And that... With that comes being able to pick up the phone whenever it is. So,
yep.
And how do you see, Vernon, if I ask you here, how do you see the market getting out of Corona? And of course, we shouldn't read newspapers. They're all full of negativity on all subjects nowadays. But how do you see the market for you?
I see it picking up. And actually, I just read an article yesterday on LinkedIn that the volumes are just at where they were pre-COVID.
Okay.
So we're just getting back to those volumes. The freight rates are a lot lower.
Okay. And you still, with that experience you have in Emo Class 1 and other, let's say, niche things, you're still doing quite a bit of that. I mean, also from a freight perspective, I suppose it pays better. I mean, it is better.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's more of a niche market. There's, I guess certain forwarders either don't have the know-how or don't want to handle it because, there can be a lot more potential headaches. But if you have the right partners and the right carriers to go to, it's there's always going to be a challenge. But selecting the proper carriers and routing is key.
Do you have a criteria for selecting carriers? Are there some that you work with a long time, or do you go after price? Does your customer push you on price? Of course they do, stupid question, but they push you on price and then you push the carrier, or how do you try to kind of stay stable with a couple of the lines for long term?
Well, yeah, it's been like a handful of lines that will even carry class 1.4S, and you know, depending on the routing, there's just a handful that we would use, so we're kind of limited as to which carriers will handle that commodity.
Understand. And where would you say your main markets are? I mean, the U.S. is a huge both in and export market, but overseas, where maybe it's a stupid question, it can be anywhere. Being part of the UK-based group, I suppose there is a certain trade between the UK and...
Yes, the majority, currently at the moment, the majority of our traffic is... to and from UK, but we also have pretty regular shipments to Central and South America, as well as Africa and other ports in Europe.
Okay.
So worldwide destinations, but primarily UK.
Okay. And Marissa, for you, let's say you go out there and you do your thing and you sell and you get that shipment. Let's say it goes overseas to where you don't have an office. Do you then have an established network that you can cooperate with around the world? I mean, you have contacts that you can use for door delivery or... Right?
Yep. Yeah. So we have an established agent network throughout the globe, so that if we don't have an office there, then we have a reputable agent who is able to do the final customs clearance and door delivery if need be.
Okay. May I ask, do you have your own bill of lading in Clover, or do you use the carrier's bill of lading mainly?
Oh, we have our own house bill. We are a licensed NVOCC as well as freight forwarder. So we do have the ability to issue our own house bills.
Okay. Vernon, one thing, I'm just asking this question mainly for many of our viewers who may not know what the FMC is, but briefly, can you explain what is the FMC in the States?
Sure, the FMC is the Federal Maritime Commission, and it's essentially the competent authority that regulates all inbound and outbound marine traffic to and from the United States. Okay. So to operate as a freight forwarder. You need a license with the FMC, and then also to operate as an NVOCC, as for us to issue our own house bill. It's a separate license.
Okay.
The FMC.
Yeah, because we don't have a similar thing here in Europe. We have some kind of regulation from the EU, but we don't have an FMC as such. And I can see that it seems FMC very active in making sure you can complain to them if the carriers are, let's say, shall we say, raping you on detention charges and whatnot, as they did during Corona. I've read is true. We don't have that in Europe in the same way. So FMC is a government body, and you can take grievances correct. There if you have with the lines, and they can issue a ruling, or how?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
And I have seen rulings, about mainly during COVID, detention and demurrage charges, yeah. where the FMC had to step in and regulate that.
Okay.
So it is an extra, in that sense, it's good, but it's all kind of an extra burden on forwarders and NVOCCs. Yeah. If you file a house bill, either you need to have a tariff rate filed or enter into what they call a NVOCC rate agreement or mm-hmm. service arrangement.
Okay.
So there has been some advancements in that over the past several years.
So for in some areas it's good, but it's also a layer of bureaucracy, I could imagine. I mean,
correct
for you, yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Another kind of record keeping requirement.
Yeah, yeah. Now that clarifies it, and I think many of our viewers, they're sitting in Asia or elsewhere, Middle East. They might not necessarily know what FMC is if they're not so familiar with U.S. trade. So. Very good. No, but it seems to me that you have quite an active team. Are you a member of any networks currently? Do you have any network affiliation or membership with other forwarding groups?
We are members of the X2 network.
Okay.
And more recently, CLC.
Oh, yes, I heard about it. to the unobserved or ignorant viewer here, of course, I have heard about it. Yes. So that's good to hear. I'm glad that you are a member of some reputable network. Right. So, Marissa, looking in your crystal ball, do you feel pumped up and ready to go and secure more business? Do you feel the mood is good and the customers are willing to listen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. What I've been finding recently is that customers are definitely more open to adding new carriers to their supply chain. I've had several conversations already with potential customers who are looking for a change, especially in this niche aerospace and defense industry. So yeah, I'm definitely seeing customers open for change, willing to listen, which isn't always the case. Sometimes they just show you to the door, or you can't even get past a gatekeeper.
That's right. I know. But that
change as opposed to previous years, that customers are actually willing to engage with the idea of adding new carriers as opposed to sticking to the status quo.
That's good. And you have the flexibility, it seems, with the size you have. I mean, you have the flexibility, you can act quick, and you have a kind of flat organization. It's not like how many layers of bureaucracy to take a decision, I guess.
Yep, exactly. So
okay, very good. No, I must say to both of you, you answered to my questions very much in detail, and it seems to me like you have an interesting outfit. I mean, you are a small team, but you are agile. You can move quickly. UK, of course, is a big market for you, but now with opening in Benelux as well is interesting. How is your global headcount of your own staffs, would you say? How many are you in totally in the group?
Approximately 50.
50. Wow, that's pretty good already. I mean, it does. 50 is also, it means you have to book some cargo. The minute you're more than two, you have to really hang in there. So.
Yep. Well, okay. That's what I'm here for. So,
yeah. Now you have to prove it.
yep, absolutely.
Very good. No, but I must say, Vernon and Marissa, I want to say formally here, many, many thanks to both of you for giving input on the Clover Group and also what you can do sitting in the States and with your overseas offices. Vernon, many thanks to you. Marissa,
thank you.
Many thanks to you as well.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having us.
It's been a pleasure. And
it
to
was
all
a pleasure.
Our always, anytime. And to all our viewers, listeners, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guests of honor today have been Mr. Vernon Tidings, the Vice President at Clover Trade and Logistics, and his good colleague here, Ms. Marisa Echevarria Vardi, the Sales and Business Development Manager, both of them located in Baltimore. And before I close this, how are the Baltimore Orioles doing?
Oh, they're having a fantastic season.
Okay. So I'll just say to all my viewers here, for those of you into baseball, it is, I believe, a baseball team. So good luck for you, and wishing you all the best. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. So again, for me, thank you very much, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.